You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Locked On Broncos podcast over here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League, as well as a columnist over at predominantlyorange.com, covering all the latest news, analysis, and updates of all things Denver Broncos. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. We're back for another edition of the Locked On Broncos podcast, and today's show is big. We're going to analyze the Pro Football Focus stats from the offense and defensive side of the ball for the Broncos. Those are segments 2 and number 3. And segment number 1, we're going to talk about opening our show tonight with the Denver Broncos daily rundown, some news around the Broncos country realm of things, and obviously a couple talking points we're going to talk about, looking at what the Broncos need to do going forward with a huge matchup with the Los Angeles Rams coming to town this Sunday. We're going to have a Locked On Broncos crossover show on Wednesday tomorrow with Brad Mader, host of Locked On Rams. We're going to talk about this matchup, Aqib Talib, the wide receivers, are they going to play? What's going on with the Broncos, Wade Phillips reunion, things like that, and this matchup, the red-hot Los Angeles Rams. It's going to be an interesting show, and the Broncos defense is struggling, and the best NFL-ranked offense is coming to town for the Broncos. So that's going to be a huge, huge thing that we're going to watch on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos when we do the crossover show. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie and our good friends over there at Blue Chew. They're back, and we're going to score. We'll talk about them here a little bit later on the show, so let's open it up. Let's take a look at the Broncos daily rundown here. Now, going across the NFL world today, for the Broncos, there's a lot of talk on Twitter. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of frustration from Broncos fans. John Elway went on the radio today, Orange and Blue 760, talked about that. You know what? They got outcoached in three schemes. They had a letdown in every element of the game, and he said he was as disappointed as anybody in this. Now, a lot of people want to talk about John Elway. Fire John Elway. John Elway, fire him from being the general manager. Who are you going to replace John Elway with? That's my question to a lot of people that are upset at John Elway. I think there is no general manager out there right now that could do a better job than John Elway. Period. Plain and simple. That's my honest opinion. John Elway's done a phenomenal job. John Elway does shoulder a load of the blame. I think we're going to see some changes, though. I don't think we're going to see this coaching staff remain completely intact through the entire year. I think we're going to see some changes made before the bye week, or actually, yeah, you know, probably the week before the bye week, week 9. You have a week 9 bye week. You might see it that week. You might see it during the bye week. But the Broncos, if things do not change, they have got to change things big time, or else things are going to continue to be the same thing. And there are some new odds out around the betting world that the Broncos will only win 2 more games the rest of the way, 2 out of their last 11 games. That's kind of disrespectful. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things we got to look at when it comes to this whole entire situation. It's frustrating. The Broncos definitely coming out in that game against the Jets and playing the way they did is not how you play football. That's not Broncos football. We're not accustomed to that. So, speaking of unaccounted for and uncustomary, Bradley Roby missed Monday's practice, and there was no reason why. Nobody had an idea where he was. Apparently, he was sick or something like that. He talked with trainers, but he didn't notify any of his coaching staff. So, this is coming off a very, very bad performance by Bradley Roby. 3 catches given up, 123 yards to Robbie Anderson. Bradley Roby, a no-show at practice on Monday, something we don't normally see. Now, my opinion on Bradley Roby. I think going back and looking at where he's at, he's not a number 2 corner. I'm the first one to say it and first one to admit it. I said Bradley Roby would be fine. I think Bradley Roby would be a great number 2 corner for the Broncos. I'm eating my words here. On paper, from what we've seen from Bradley Roby the last 4 years, I felt like he could do the job. I thought he could do it phenomenally well. I thought he had a great game against the Kansas City Chiefs, to be honest with you. He did. Then he comes to the Jets game and things don't really go according to plan. Things just go downhill. That, to me, is the most frustrating part. We know he's a talented player. We know he has the ability to be a good cornerback. He just hasn't shown it this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if it's technique. I don't know what's going through Bradley Roby's head. But to miss practice on Monday, that's a little bit of concern, especially after the performance he had on Sunday. And there, you know, you could go through Pro Football Talk. You could go through any of Broncos media's tweets about Bradley Roby missing practice. And you're going to see nothing but just jokes and memes and statements about Bradley Roby being burnt toast and things like that. Look, it's tough. I encourage people to go try to play cornerback. Now, the one thing I said Bradley Roby could have done better, I went back and watched film. Bradley Roby could have done a better job of utilizing his cushion, knowing his cushion and utilizing it rather than giving up the cushion and biting and not utilizing technique that most defensive backs use. Those were little things. He got his cushion eaten up, and Robbie Anderson's a fast guy. We've seen how talented Robbie Anderson can be. He can be a very promising up-and-coming wide receiver in the NFL. He had a great year last year off the field, had some issues go on this offseason, so that flooded a lot of things, and really it was his breakout game against the Broncos. So Bradley Roby, a no-show. Also in Broncos news, Alexander Johnson, he pleaded to two counts. He had some charges, and he had a DUI charge dropped because he pleaded to two counts, so this is big for him. No DUI on his record, so that's going to be good for him. And a lot of people really talking about should Broncos go with Chad Kelly. I don't know, we'll talk about that. I want to talk about that. We'll probably talk about that with Brad Mader of Los Angeles Rams, the Locked On Rams podcast. We're going to talk about that this week, or maybe in our game preview. But something's got to change. Case Keenum's got to play better, plain and simple. And I think that we're going to look at that. You know, we're going to talk about how Case Keenum and the Broncos offense did when we get into segment number two coming up here in a second. We look at Pro Football Focus's elite stats about the Broncos offense. Who was the top five performers in that game? It didn't seem like there was anybody, but who was the bottom five as well? We're going to talk about the offensive side of the ball according to Pro Football Focus from the Broncos game at the New York Jets. But first, I got to get to our sponsor of today's show, MyBookie, the one-stop shop for all reliable sports betting. They offer you, the listener of the Locked On Broncos podcast, a variety of amazing features that will help you make a lot of money if you play it right. You can make live in-game bets, even bet the over and under on fantasy points for players. And because MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, they want to give everybody the best service possible and the best opportunity to make a lot of money. And they're willing to kick you some extra money if you are willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time. When you do that, they will throw you an additional $25 of free play on deposits that are made over $100. So if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Put down $200, they will give you $200, and you can do this by using promo code LOCKEDON25. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and use promo code LOCKEDON25 when you create your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play today. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. And speaking of getting paid, guess what? The NBA offseason, you got teams paying people max contracts. Unbelievable. And with that, the NBA season is back. You can get all of your NBA previews this week on the Locked On NBA podcast. You feature six teams a day for 5 days in the week. 30 teams will be previewed from the local experts of Locked On NBA. So follow Locked On NBA on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or you can even tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. All right, jumping into it, segment number two, we're going to look at the offensive side of the ball, the offensive summary according to Pro Football Focus and their premium stats. We want to thank them for allowing the Locked On Podcast Network to utilize some of this great information and work that they put countless hours to every single day. So that's a huge, huge thing for us utilizing it here on the Locked On Broncos Podcast. As always, we're going to talk about the offensive side of the ball. And segment three coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk about the defensive side of the ball in terms of Pro Football Focus. So let's take a look at the offensive summary. Let's start with the bottom five. I think it's important to start off that way. We'll find the happy medium, then we'll talk about the top five performers from this game. It was an awful game on the offensive side of the ball. There's some bright spots. There's some, obviously some dark and gloomy spots. Let's take a look here. Starting at number 15 out of 20, you have Ron Leary. He graded out as a 57.2 overall offensive grade. That is intermediate. That's not that good. Pass blocking, he graded at a 63.3. Run blocking, a 51.8. He was in for 77 total snaps, and he pass blocked on 58 of those because the Broncos only ran the ball 17 times. And then he had 19 run blocks. Factor in, Case Keenum scrambling, anything like that. The Broncos had 59 snaps overall where they passed the ball. That's not very effective if you want to win games in the National Football League. So Ron Leary on the field quite a bit, 77 snaps. That was pretty much, he never came off the field. He never missed an offensive series. After that, you have number 16. They brought him up from the practice squad. Brian Parker, number 89, tight end. He got five snaps. He graded out at a 56.9, 57.2 in the passing game. In pass blocking, he graded out 66.6. So he was decent in the passing game, but overall, he was not that effective. Graded out in the yellow at 60.0. He was in on three passes. He had one blocking attempt, one run block. He did not do that great. He didn't really get enough, and five snaps total is really not a good sample size. And a guy who's at the bottom that really, to be honest with you, really, really surprised me is Connor McGovern. Connor McGovern comes in at number 17. He graded out overall 56.0, and he had arguably his worst game in the passing game in terms of blocking. He graded out 47.0. In the run blocking, he graded out 58.8. So this was a big step back for him. He had 77 total plays alongside Ron Leary. He got 58 in pass blocking, 19 plays in the run blocking game. That's really not enough. And a guy that also dropped off a little bit. He was the MVP against the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Janovich. He only had 10 total snaps this week. The Broncos abandoned the run game once again. Three in the pass pro, one pass blocking, six run block attempts. He graded out, and his pass blocking is 73.0, an evident bright spot for the Broncos. When he's in, he's a great guy to have on passing situations because he will pick up any interior A-gap, B-gap blitz. He graded out 55.1 in the passing game, 52 overall, though. And in run blocking, he had an off day, 53.0 grade. That is orange. That's kind of hazard orange. And last but not least, the bottom guy on the Broncos offense is the quarterback, Case Keenum. 77 total snaps, 58 passes, and 19 runs. You know, he graded out overall 48.3, the lowest grade for the Broncos this week. 48.3 is an overall grade. That is hazardous. That's cautious. That's that orange. That's that red flag. And that's why a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of people are already calling for Chad Kelly. In the passing game, 48.5 overall grade. And run blocking, I don't even know how he gets a run blocking grade. I don't know what they really factor into that criteria, but he graded out as a 60. And that'll make it for the Broncos offense side of the ball. Now, before we get to segment two, talking about the Broncos defense, I think it's important to analyze the top five. Now, we got Demaryius Thomas. He graded out as the number one athlete for the Broncos offense. He had 47 total snaps in this game, 32 in the passing game, 15 as a run blocker. He graded out 82.6 overall in the passing game, receiving the ball 81.4, and in run blocking, he didn't have a great game in terms of run blocking, 59.7. That's something that's got to prove. Matt Paradise, he comes in 77 total snaps, 58 in pass blocking, 59, you know, 19 in the run blocking game, 77.6 overall grade. He's in the green. Pass blocking was great for him, 81.8 in the green as well. And run blocking, he rounded out pretty well. He was the most consistent player for the Broncos in this game. He graded out overall in the run blocking as a 75.0. That's in the green for Matt Paradise. That's huge. And then Broncos tackle filling in, Elijah Wilkinson. Garrett Bowles had an ankle injury, wasn't playing that great. He stepped in at left tackle, 12 total snaps, 11 pass blocking, one run blocking, and in the pass block, he got 83.6 grade. That's an improvement. That's probably better than what Garrett Bowles had overall. Garrett Bowles, when I look at his, he had 65 total snaps, and he graded out in pass blocking 68.7. So in comparison, you know, Elijah Wilkinson stepped in and had a pretty good game, and I think it's important to note that overall graded out 69.5. That's light green. That's pretty good. Emmanuel Sanders came in at fourth with 73 total snaps, 57 in the pass game, 15 in the run game, and he graded out 69.0 overall. His pass blocking was actually pretty good, 73.4 grade as well. Billy Turner, the last guy at number five, he graded out 77 total snaps, 58 in the passing game, 19 in the run game, 66.2 overall. Pass blocking was better than Garrett Bowles, 74.1 for him as well. So, you know, going back, there's some holes on this Broncos offensive line at tackle, and some of these young guys, Billy Turner and, you know, Elijah Wilkinson stepping up while Garrett Bowles and, you know, obviously Jared Valdir, you know, struggles with injury and things like that. They look a lot better right now, in my opinion, than those guys do. So that'll be our offensive segment here for the Pro Football Focus analysis. And with that, before we get to segment two here in just a second, we're going to talk about the Pro Football Focus Broncos defensive side of the ball. But before we jump into that, I got to tell you guys about Blue Chew. Are you like the Denver Broncos and you can't score when you're in the red zone? Maybe they should take Blue Chew. You can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed by using Blue Chew. That's BlueChew.com. That's blue as in the color blue. It brings you the first chewable tablet with the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work. The Broncos can use a big injection of Blue Chew to get in the end zone today. You can take them at any time of the day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they are chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises for you or your partner. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and they ship straight to your door in a discreet package, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office no more, and that awkward waiting in the waiting room, waiting in the pharmacy for your prescription. Best of all, there's no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they are cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, for the Locked On Broncos listeners, we have a very special deal. If you visit BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment free when you use promo code Locked On. All you do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it free today. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. We hope they can sponsor the Broncos so they can put it into the end zone today. BlueChew.com. All right, jumping into it, the defensive side of the ball for the Denver Broncos in terms of how they performed. And I tell you what, there are some guys that didn't perform at all. There are some guys that actually played pretty well. And overall, the Broncos defense, they had a really bad day that I think they would really want to forget. So let's start off with the top five. We'll start at the top five with the defensive side of the ball. Coming in at number one, the man, the myth, the legend, the strong guy, Adam Gotsis. He had 29 total snaps on defense. He had 18 rush defenses, and he had 11 attempts where he was able to pass rush. And he graded out overall as a 91.3 for the Broncos. His rush defense was impeccable at a 92.2 grade. Tackle. He was graded out at 70.5. That's light green. His pass rush struggled a little bit, 53.7. That's kind of in the orange. And in coverage, 60.0. That's not a very good thing. He had two tackles. He had a forced fumble, and that was very key for the Broncos on that first defensive series for the defense to get the offense the ball back. They go on to score. Case Keenum to Courtland Sutton, 8-yard touchdown. He comes in at number one. Number two is Derek Wolfe, 44 total snaps, 25 in the rush game, and 19 in the pass rush game. So in terms of that, he graded out at an 84.2 overall. His rush defense was a 71.4. The Broncos didn't really do a lot of great things in terms of run defense. Adam Gotsis is the only guy that stopped the run pretty well. Other than that, everybody else struggled. In tackling, Derek Wolfe was a 70.9, 74.1 in the pass rush game. He had two total tackles, and one of them was an assist. He had one sack, and he had a couple stops on third down. He had an interception that was batted up, and he made a play on that. Couldn't really get too many yards there, but you know what? A big-time lineman, defensive lineman getting an interception, that's a huge thing. Coming in at number three is Chris Harris Jr., grading out overall 83.3. He had a pretty good game, in my honest opinion, just going through and watching there. He was targeted five times, and he gave up one catch for 12 yards. That was about it. He had two pass breakups, and he only allowed an NFL passer rating of 39.6. So for him to grade out 83.3 overall in the tackling game, he was pretty decent. He had a couple plays where he whiffed on at 77.8 overall in terms of run defense. In terms of his pass coverage, though, he graded out the highest amongst all Broncos players, 86.4. He had a great game, and the Broncos need help in the secondary. We'll talk about the secondary struggles in a little bit because they got a few guys at the bottom that we're going to talk about. Zach Kirk came in, 25 total snaps for them, 19 in the rush defense, 6 in the pass rush. He graded out 77.6 overall, and his tackling was atrocious at 38.3. That is awful. That is not something the Broncos want to do. He had 3 tackles in this game. He had 3 stops as well, but overall, Zach Kirk, he graded out as a top four guy because he had a very strong game in the rush defense, but he just couldn't tackle. So I think closing the gap, making those plays kind of close up a little bit whenever they didn't run off for a 14.5 yard per carry average. Zach Kerr graded out pretty decently. And coming in at number five, Domantas Pego, 38 total snaps, 27 in the run game, 11 trying to pass rush the quarterback. His tackling was pretty bad too. It graded out as one of the worst, 29.8 overall in the tackling game. His pass rush grade was a 64.2. That's kind of a yellowish green, 67.7 in the run game. He was the top five. Other than that, the Broncos had some guys in the 60s and in the mid 60s, late 60s and the early 70s, things like that. But overall, we got to get into the bottom five because it is absolutely bad. DeMonte Thomas comes in at number 15, and I don't really grade too much into this because, you know what, he had one snap on defense. So we're going to go to Bradley Chubb. He comes in at number 16, 42 total snaps in this game, overall grade of 59.5. Now, where he really struggled at was in coverage. They would drop him into coverage on certain plays. He graded out at 32.6. Overall, his rush defense was pretty great. It averaged out about a 70. His tackling was graded out to about 72.5. He had two tackles himself as well as a stop, and you know, I think overall he gave up, I believe it was one catch for 12 yards as well. Bradley Chubb did that, so it was kind of a catch where he caught it 4 yards and then he ran for an additional 8 for a total 12 yard game. I remember that was a kind of a thing for Bradley Chubb when you drop your pass rushers back into coverage. I don't think that's a very wise move for the Broncos, but you know, he grades out as 16. Darian Stewart, really rough game. Graded out 59 overall, and his tackling graded out as one of the worst as well, 39.7. A lot of that and a low grade in terms of rush defense really dropped his grade, 52.3. So it dropped him to a 59 overall, not very good in the bottom five. Justin Simmons, another guy in the secondary, 62 total snaps in the game, 39 against the run, 21 against the pass. He graded out 51.8 overall. And I think going back and looking at his rush defense tackling-wise, he was okay in tackling, 81.5, but his pass coverage really struggled in this game. Sam Darnold went 10 of 22. You know, he gave up two catches for 22 yards. For that, you know, you can't have that in terms of just being a pass cover safety. You know, being an athletic safety, we've seen this guy can make a lot of plays for the Broncos. He didn't do it. He didn't do it this week. So he's got a rebound against a very, very tough Los Angeles Rams team. That's something we got to look forward to as well. And at the bottom one, we're almost done here. Todd Davis, 57.6 overall, 39 total snaps, played a little banged up. His tackling was pretty good at 81.2. He had 6 total tackles. And in the passing game, he was targeted one time. He gave up a 3-yard catch. To me, that's not a bad thing. He did a better job in that regard as well. But overall, his coverage, I think, based on his alignment, 78.2 is not bad for him, especially when the inside linebackers have struggled predominantly. Now, his rushing defense was really rough at 44.5. That impacted his grade quite a bit. Now, the bottom guy, I think it's no surprise to anybody. Bradley Roby, 46 total snaps in this game, 26 against the run, 20 against the pass. He graded out as the worst I've seen this year on Pro Football Focus. He grades out a 29.4 overall grade. His pass coverage is 29.7. He got burnt big time. He was targeted 5 times. He gave up 3 catches for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have one pass breakup, but other than that, the NFL quarterback, his quarterback rating when throwing at him was 143.8. That is something that is not going to win you games, and it almost furthers my point to think that the Broncos have a lot of issues that they have to correct before they play the Rams. That's something they got to get on the board with really quick. A short week, short turnaround, very good team. Jared Goff and the receivers coming to town. We're going to talk with Locked On Rams host Brad Mader tomorrow on the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Rams crossover show. It's going to be a huge, huge show about this matchup. A lot of reunions, Aqib Talib, Wade Phillips. It's going to make me very bittersweet. You're going to look at a guy in Sean McVay, a guy the Broncos could have had as a coach. And I tell you what, he's a very energetic guy. I love Sean McVay because of his football mind. He's very smart. He can replay things. And that's something that the Broncos right now currently don't have. So we'll do the crossover show tomorrow. Stay tuned on your Apple, your Google Podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast for that episode. It should be up tomorrow morning around 10 a.m. Mountain Time for your listening pleasure here on the Locked On Broncos Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. We'll do it again tomorrow for the crossover show. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. We'll be back for another edition on Wednesday. And then we're going to throw a game preview on Thursday as well. I'd like to thank all new listeners of the Locked On Broncos podcast that tuned in today. We hope you can stick around for all the latest news, analysis, and discussion of all things Denver Broncos related. We'll see you again for the crossover show.